Tonight, as we look at Worthy is the Lamb, study number 12, God's representative perspective on Babylon. The four voices. Now, let's remember again. God has watched all of His creation since before the beginning of time, but He has watched. And at the Tower of Babel, we find in the Old Testament, at the Tower of Babel, we see the ultimate sin of the heart of the human race. That's when they try, the human race decides we don't need God. Every nation, every generation that has ever said we don't need God has collapsed. And we know at the Tower of Babel when during this time, which comes stems from the term Babel, comes Babylon. And remembering again, Babylon is an attitude, not necessarily a place, but it is the attitude with the people living in that place. So when you say, well, because that you're born here at this certain place, then all hell is going to break loose against you and God is going to judge you, not if you don't get that attitude, the attitude of going against God. We'll go into that in a second. But now we hear in Revelation chapter 18, we're going to hear the four voices from heaven as God's perspective on Babylon is declared. In Revelation chapter 18, we hear this. Four voices that put human history in perspective. Four voices that put the world today in perspective. Four voices that put the world leader of the end times in perspective. Now, when you start hearing the actual voice from God, voice sent from heaven coming down, pay attention. They, you know, people ignore God until they, have you ever noticed people get, you know, they're so obstinate, they are so set in their ways, and then you let a bad storm come up. Let the lightning start flashing and the thunder rolling, and you see those people who are so tough and mighty and all of this, and you know, heading downstairs or heading wherever they're heading, said, "Oh God, have mercy on us." The whole creation will cry out, "Oh God, have mercy on us," because a time is coming when the storm sent from God will be so huge, so fearful, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that means God is going to speak. Here we hear four voices, God's word coming down to them. Remember, Babylon is more than a place. Babylon is an attitude, the attitude of entrenched worldly resistance to God. Entrenched worldly resistance to God. Again, it's not an antichrist or even an anti-God. It is no God, no God. There's no such thing as God. God does not exist. That's the attitude that is coming from this place, which includes any world ruler or civilization that sets itself up against God. So, the Babylon is any world resistance that sets itself up against God. We have a big push in our own nation today of anti-God. It's not, again, it's not anti-Christ. It's anti-God. No, it's not even the atheist. It's not, atheists are better than this group. This group says there is no God. There's no such thing as God. Not, I don't believe in God. Not that the atheists go against God, which I've never understood. They spend millions and millions of dollars to prove to everybody that God is not relevant. If he's not relevant, how come they're spending so many millions of dollars to prove he's not relevant? But this group, the Babylonian attitude is, No such thing as God. No God. No God. Now, the voice, first voice, the voice of condemnation. How'd you like to hear this one coming from the mouth of an angel that comes down? After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. Quite a magnificent creation of God, this angel was. And illuminated by his splendor, I'd sort of pay attention to something like that. Coming out of the sky, coming down from heaven, illuminating everything. I'm going to be looking on and paying attention. With a mighty voice, he shouted. Wasn't any whisper. Wasn't any of this like, shh, shh, people are asleep. Wasn't any of that at all. And he says in this mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird." Everything has turned evil. And God's word is coming down. Fallen, fallen. Now, this is God saying, you're fallen. At this point, they hadn't. They had not fallen. But they were getting ready to. And when God speaks, remember what I've always tried to get across to us. There's no such thing when it comes to God and us. There's no such thing in past, present, and future tense. With God, with us, it's always present tense. Everything is present tense with God. God says, okay, when Gene Shimel, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life, you count it as you're already here right now. You just count it as you're already here. So that's present tense, always. With God, we are always present tense. Well, the Lord's coming soon. The Lord's already come in my heart. Present tense. He's already here. Well, I'm going to be with the Lord soon. I'm already with the Lord. Present tense. He said so. One of these days, I'm going to leave this body, and my spirit is going to leave this body and be with Christ. And yet the voice of God says, Larry, your spirit's already with me. See, we're the ones that's behind on all of this. We human beings are the ones that deal with the past, the present, and the future, we call it. You know, in the future, I'm in the future. I'm already there. I don't know what I look like, and I may not have to have hair, ladies. I might just be as slick-headed right here, and all the rest of you all as slick-headed as I am. But I'm already there. It's present tense. And nothing wrong with that, is there, Duncan? Yeah. Is there joy? No, we're fine. The rest of you just wait. Okay. Verse number 3. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her. Now, get the sexual part of this out of your mind. This has nothing to do with that. The adultery has always been adultery against God. It has always been focused on idols. It's always been focused on where you get your mind away from the Creator to where you start worshiping the created thing. And God said, they have committed these adulteries, atrocious adultery, like maddening wine. Shiny things make us crazy sometimes. Oh, that's so shiny over, honey, can I buy it? It's so shiny. It's a truck, and it's pretty. Can I buy it? Oh, man, you women smile. What about diamonds? What the Lord says to us is this. Do not get drunk on the wine of the world, of the idols of the world, of this ideology of the world. Ideology of the world is, I don't need you. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. And God hurt my feelings years ago. Can you imagine people, you ought to have to listen to it sometime. No, Brother Larry, I just never have been to church. much for, I guess it's going on, that was 38 years now, because I remember 38 years ago, I asked something in prayer, believing it was going to happen, and God just hurt my feelings on that. And your poor pastor, sitting across that desk, just starts slobbering and everything, just going wild. You know, saying, Lord, please hold me down. Hold me down, Lord. Don't let me say what I'm wanting to say. But it's pitiful. We do not pay close enough attention to understand how great we have it in the United States of America and in this world, but especially in our own nation. Do you ever hurt anybody's feelings? The thing of it is, God never does. If my feelings seem to be hurt, I hurt my feelings. God's not going to hurt me. He said that He would not hurt me. He said that everything I'm going to do is going to lift you up, and I want to do good for you, and I want you to have what is good. I want you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Everything I'm doing for you is good. But just because we do it the way we think He should, we will turn to the world and use that as an excuse to go to Babel, to worship the world. We'll build our own tower then, and we'll get to heaven our way. I don't know where you're going, but you ain't going to heaven doing that. God's perspective, here's what He says. Babylon will fall. Evil inevitably, eventually consumes itself. Let me say that again. Evil inevitably, eventually consumes itself. Goes this way, and I'm watching this play out all over the place. I've seen it my whole life. And it's scripture. He that digs a pit will fall into his own trap. It's just the word of God. He that digs a pit to try to destroy someone else, they will fall into their own trap. Now, when do I get in trouble? If I decide that I'm going to take charge of this situation, I have learned over the years that have no intention of attempting to take charge of situations like that. I make it worse. Sometimes, Gene, I don't come across too nice. So the Lord says, Larry, you just need to back off and let me. Back off and you let me. Because when you get involved with it, I'm going to back off. I don't want God backing off of me anymore. I'll tell God on you in a heartbeat, because I don't want to have God back off from defending me. But He says, if I seek vengeance myself, that He will withdraw His hand from that judgment or that correction of that individual. So I have learned, but it's taken a lifetime to learn it. Back off as they dig the pit. Well, I feel so sorry for them anymore. I want to help them dig it. You know, because you feel sorry for them doing all that sweat and knowing they're going to fall into it. So I just want to. The second voice, page 2. The voice of separation. Revelation 18, 4 through 8. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins. This is where God sends His people to the wilderness during the tribulation period. This is there where God is going to protect His people. And He pulls them out of the cities and says, now you go to the wilderness. And I've told you before, remember? Before, it was taking them out of the wilderness and bringing them in. Now, He's saying, you get out and I'll have you protected out in the wilderness. People say, who's there to protect Him? Well, let me tell you something. Now, folks, when an angel starts shouting from heaven, you go, call it, my people come out and go here, I guarantee you there's more angels where that one came from. Wherever it is, I want her to go with the angel. You and I can't, because we're watching this from glory. We're seeing all of it, but we're not involved in it yet. We will be, but we're not involved with it yet. Okay, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. Remember again, plagues against Egypt. And let me remind you of this. Remember, there was over here was God's people in the land of Goshen. That was Joseph's territory. Remember, it's given to him. Okay, Joseph has this. This is where God's people are living. God called the plagues to come down on Egypt. And all of the frogs and all sorts of the plagues and everything was saturating everyone in Egypt. But when they got to the land of Goshen, it's just like an invisible wall was there. Not one plague could cross over to affect not one of God's people. Not one. They were protected. Same way here. They will be protected. For her sins are piled up to heaven. God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Now listen to this one. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. What you sow, so shall you reap. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. Remember I told you that they were melting pearls and drinking them. They had so many luxuries and all of that. So here the judgment is, give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. Okay, once again, who then brought on this destruction? Those people that committed the sins against God. They signed their own destructive measures. What they did, God used that then. You'll be judged by that. You'll be judged by what you do. Give her as much torture and grief as she did herself. Yeah, give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luck she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Oh, gosh, foolish charge. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire. For mighty is the Lord God who judges her. You will be judged by which judgment you give to others. That's why we're to be careful. And that's the reason you always hear me. Don't you ever say you're going to hell. Don't you ever tell that to a person. And don't you ever tell a person to go there. Don't you ever do that. You're really stepping out of line on that one. You are not the judge of the final resting place of the human spirit. Only God is. What if that individual, because of one act of kindness from you at a certain period, when they were the meanest and most miserable to you, you showed them one act of kindness, and prior to them leaving that body, they trusted Jesus. You're going to be in heaven with them for eternity. You mean as bad as they were? Yeah. And the older I get, the more I look at the sins of my own life, I realize I'm thankful when God forgives anybody, because I'm one of them. God's perspective, go ahead. That's correct. And when a person is forgiven, that person that gets saved right here, just before their death right here, is in the same heaven you're in. And people say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, to me, it doesn't seem fair for that person, because that person chose to miss out on all the blessings. I get blessings every day, every second of my life with Christ. I get blessings. That person missed out on every human blessing, except for the ultimate blessing of salvation. I get to experience my salvation on a daily basis. That's a blessing. That's a shouting time when that stuff starts hitting him. Okay. God's perspective, come out from her, my people. Only God's people is going to listen to him. Did not Jesus say that? They're my sheep hear my voice. When they hear another voice, they're not going to follow that voice, because it's my voice. The sheep knew the shepherd's voices. And it didn't matter who else was out there calling their sheep. that particular flock, waited for their shepherd's call, and then they went. Jeremiah 51, verse 45. Come out of her, my people. Run for your lives. Run from the fierce anger of the Lord. The wrath of God has come. Therefore, the Lord saying, my people, and their people are saved during this time. It's not the church as you know it, but it's God's church then. And God is telling them, get out. Run. What does he tell us to do right now from evil? Run. Don't you stand toe-to-toe with Satan. Well, what am I supposed to do? I've got to show him I'm a man. He already knows you're a man and you're dumb. So what you need to do is turn and run. Turn and run. Okay. Something that I found was really problematic in the Christian faith. But do not go out and start a Christian subculture. Yeah, we'll make our own Kool-Aid over here, those subcultures of saying, okay, we're going, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set our group of Christians aside from all the other Christians. Because you Baptists don't have any idea what's going on. Well, we Baptists have never had any idea what's going on. That's not our job. Our job and our calling was, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And when you know Jesus, that's the answer. And all the other foolishness and all of this, that just comes with the human existence. We're going to do foolish things. Now, I know some of you may have never done this. A lot of people make foolish statements. I can't remember when I ever made one. Gosh, I can't even say that, Randy, without laughing. I'll get out of that. Third voice. The voice of lamentation, lamenting, sorrow, grief. Revelation 18:9-19. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her, and the her, again, the her is the attitude. And the attitude of anti-God is the attitude of sin. And people, once they commit that sin of adultery with them, then they share in the judgment that is to come. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. What did they miss? They missed the whole point of all of it. They missed God. What good does it do to have everything there is and miss heaven and miss the fact of eternity? Luxury, see the smoke they're burning, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They're terrified because they realize, that can happen to me. I'm waiting for that loud voice. So they're terrified. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off from the city. Oh, we're buddy buddies until people don't like you anymore. So I'm going to go with the big group. You see how that works? They will stand far off and cry, whoa, 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 great city of Babylon, city of power. In 1 hour, your doom has come. Now, that hour actually represents a short period of time. Not necessarily what you and I call an hour, but very short period of time that it's going to take. So in 1 hour, your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Fine linen, purple silk, and scarlet cloth. Every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished. Listen to that last part. never to be recovered. They bit off way more than they can chew. It was over. Page 3, let me finish reading. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, great city." Do you hear any of them crying out to the Lord? No, they're not repentant of their sin. They're repentant that they're losing it. They're losing what they lusted after. They're losing the fine linen and the pearls. They can't have any more parties. Whoa, 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 great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth had been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who traveled by ship, the sailors and all who earned their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin." The great city. Which city? Which nation? Any nation that renounces God, any nation that decides there is no God in their own attitudes, that nation is a Babylon. If it comes to the United States of America, we will be classified as a Babylon. How do I know it hasn't happened yet? Yeah, church is here. We're still in existence. You and I are still praying. We're still alive. We are still proclaiming the Word of God. There is a segment. Oh, it's into the 40-some percentile now of the United States of America that is pulling away, wanting to go into communist rule and socialism and all this other foolishness. That in itself is a god. Socialism, communism is a god. It is an idol. That you will see all of the hurt and pain. The thorns are going to stick you. But you stand firm. I am with you. I will take care of you. So our trust is in the Lord. Right? When we quit trusting the Lord and we trust a government, that government has become an idol. You got that point? I'm sure I'll hear about that point. Okay. Yes. Has become an idol. And it become a way of taking care of everything. I thought the Lord was for that. God's perspective. In 1 hour, it's all gone. That's God's perspective. In 1 hour, it's all gone. Treasure and pleasure is gone. Salvation by checkbook is gone. God on demand is gone. Religion as feeling. See, that's a trouble with religion. I can be religious if I feel like it that day. But folks, I can be Christian no matter how I feel. I don't have to feel good. I don't have to wake up feeling good to tell you that I'm a Christian. I know Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. Praise God. Now, religion? No, religion doesn't work that way. It's a lot of rules, regulations, and guidelines, and many of which are set by man himself. Especially the kind of men that don't like God. Self as God is gone. Woo! That was one fast minute, wasn't it? That was the hour there. Self as God is gone. Okay. Page 4. Fourth voice. Last voice for the evening. The voice of celebration. Revelation 18:20. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. That one touch angel, wasn't it? He has some strong wings. And said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again." Folks, hear this. There is no town in existence today named Babylon. There is no nation. Babylon would be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. You merchants were the world's great men, but your magic spell, by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth. There is no city called Babylon today because God said there never would be again. Amazing, isn't it? God's perspective. Justice will be done. God made us. God makes a city. God gives us a name. God gathers us together for eternity. Don't forget the four words to understanding the book of Revelation. God is in control. God is in control.